Good evening, welcome to Mountain Bears. I'm Mason Light, you know, head grumpy bear in charge, and with me tonight is Cubby with Moses, Techie Joe. How are you, darling?
I'm doing okay. How are you this evening?
Evil.
That's well, there normal. You go.
I tell you, the South I'm getting a little worried about. Hello, Miss Brenda. How are you?
Hey, Brenda. Yeah, this is a fun one. 200-foot tower stolen from Alabama radio station. Quote, I thought I had seen it all.
I thought I had.
Yeah, so WJLX's landscaping crew arrived at the property in Jasper on February 2nd for a routine cleanup when it noticed the tower was gone, according to the station. Quote, when he called me on Friday and said, the tower is gone, I couldn't believe it, General Manager Brett Elmore recounted. I asked him if he was sure he was at the right place. He responded, the tower is gone. The thieves cut all the tower's wires and also ransacked WJLX's facility at the site, stealing all of its equipment, according to the station. I've been trying all weekend to make sense of it, but I just can't, Elmore remarked. I've been involved in the radio business my whole life, and I've never heard of anything like this. I thought I had seen it all. WJLX shut down its transmitter after the FCC denied the AM station's request to switch to FM radio and began streaming content solely through its webpage and apps. The station decided against insuring the site, and estimated costs to rebuild it will total more than $60,000, a valuation Elmore believes motivated the bandits to take the tower metal. He noted listeners have offered to assist despite the theft scale. This is a huge loss, Elmore told The Guardian. People have reached out and asked how they can help, but I don't know how you can help unless you have a 200-foot tower and an AM transmitter. The Jasper Police Department is investigating the theft. A spokesperson for Jasper City Hall told the National Desk Friday investigators have not provided any reports thus far. Elmore proposed a neighboring poultry farm's employees or surveillance footage may have captured the crime. The sad part is that Jasper has always been a radio town. They have always supported their local radio station, Elmore said. According to The Guardian, now we're silent. But we won't be silent for long. I'm going to work tirelessly to get this thing back up and running one way or the other. Approximately 6 months ago, thieves reportedly swiped a nearby station's air conditioning unit and copper pipes.
Terry Radio is having a time. But...
Well, it's not surprising, though, because a lot of these stations...
Right.
Like, this isn't your old school radio station where there's always someone there.
Right.
Like, and that's the problem. That's the problem. Because a lot of your stations, even if they are currently functional stations,
right,
are computer controlled.
Right.
You don't have to have an on-person staff. You may only have someone come in once a day, a couple times a week.
Well, this is a radio tower.
Right. Well, and that's especially important to point out as well, because a lot of the towers and the stations are no longer connected either.
Right.
So that also adds to it. On a lot of the older stations, they were one and the same, or very close proximity.
But see, this is what I don't get. We have a 60-foot tower in the backyard, attached to the house, that is 60 foot up.
Is it that big? I thought it was like a 30.
Nope, that's a 60. I remember putting up both lines of tower. It's 60 feet into the air. We can't get someone to come take it down.
Well, we haven't really advertised.
Oh, yes, we have. But you just, but you know, through the back channels, we've advertised.
Okay.
For someone that could actually use it.
Oh, so Brenda's saying watch for a pop-up pirate radio station. Not necessarily. Like, literally, you run into a lot of theft anymore that is purely for the metal, for the scrap value.
Right.
And especially for, like, radio towers, because if you cut those down and apart, it's just a bunch of metal.
Right.
Like, it doesn't always clearly indicate what it is.
Right.
Like, it doesn't look like anything important. It looks like maybe you took apart a house.
Right.
Or the plumbing of the house.
Right.
It's kind of fun.
Right.
But, you know, I look for more of these to happen. I'm surprised it doesn't happen to more radio stations.
Well, you know, I think we're going to have to watch, because 200 towers, you can talk Skipland all the way to UK. Someone are going to be checking that short band radio area.
Well, but now a lot of people have, like, moved away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of these towers, and I'm sure that may be an issue with, like, houses that are selling.
Yeah.
Like, grandpa's old, you know, CB tower, or grandpa's old, you know, ham radio tower.
Right.
I'm not sure most homeowners would even care. Like, if a house sits vacant and the tower's there, I'm sure that it could easily disappear and no one's going to be the wiser.
Right.
And that's the sad part, is that, like, a lot of our radio-based, you know, terrestrial radio,
right,
based services are just kind of, like, a thing of the past.
Right.
Like, we don't use that anymore. What are you talking about?
Right.
Like, we still have stations. They're still there. If you turn on your car radio, they're there. But in reality, most of us are streaming. Most of us are already on apps and listening. And is it really in the best interest of the station to put money towards going back to a terrestrial tower?
Right.
Like, and does it matter anymore? Can you have a whole radio station?
Right.
Online and not need, even though you existed for decades possibly, right, as a terrestrial tower, is it really worth the money?
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
You know, because, you know, that one of the dreams was to take this to a Sirius XM. I don't see terrestrial lasting much longer.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, a few years ago, satellite radio was, well, several years ago, satellite radio's come up and on the stage.
Right.
What was a game changer, because it totally revolutionized what you could offer in a, like, coast-to-coast market.
Exactly.
And hundreds of channels.
Right.
Whereas now, like, does that even matter? I mean, granted, we're in West Virginia, and I, like, my car came with a free trial. And I did not continue it.
Right.
Because in this area, in West Virginia, like, good luck, you drive a mile or two, you're going to lose signal all over the place, or at least my car did. And I'm like, it's not worth it. I'm not, no, I'm not paying for this. Because it's not enjoyable.
But if Terra Radio or any radio station brought me a contract that was worth a damn, we'd move over to Terra Radio.
Okay. I mean, would we then?
Yeah, in a heartbeat, I'd move over to Terra Radio.
Okay.
throwing some music in between, not a problem.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, but checking at their station, they are going to be working at it. Update on the 8th, the federal FCC has denied the request once again.
Oh, no.
They go back to 105.5 FM. Today, they shut down our transmitter and programming streams via the internet and our app only until we can restore our 1240 frequency. Many have asked, how can you help? They've actually established a GoFundMe.
Oh.
Let's see how that's
very
doing.
Very cool.
Actually, you know, they're up to $3,000 for their 60,000 average, and that's created a day ago.
Hey, that's doing pretty good. That's a lot of $5 donations.
That's a lot of $50 donations and $500 donations and $2,500 donations.
Okay, well, with the $2,500 and the $500,
you know. And $20 and $25.
Yeah.
You know, $10 from another radio station.
Oh.
You know. So it's really cool that they're getting fan support.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Very, very cool. All right. So moving on. Let's head on up north to Tennessee. Little town there is going to have to be writing a big check for being a bigot.
Well, yes, a Tennessee city ordered to give $500,000 to LGBTQ plus groups over ordinance that blocked pride events over drag. Hey, Devin. The city of Murfreesboro, Tennessee has repealed an ordinance that would have blocked pride events as part of a settlement of a lawsuit brought by the Tennessee Equality Project, which sponsors Borough Pride in the city. Murfreesboro officials had told the TEP in late 2022 that they would not grant any more event permits to the group. Then last June, the city council adopted an ordinance banning, quote, indecent exposure, public indecency, lewd behavior, nudity, or sexual conduct. The city code already included homosexuality under the definition of sexual conduct. TEP got around the prohibition by holding Borough Pride last fall on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University, but it also filed a lawsuit in October challenging the ordinance and related city policies. The organization was represented by the American Civil Liberties Union of Tennessee, the National ACLU, and two private law firms, Ballard Sfar, and Burr Foreman. A judge quickly blocked enforcement of the ordinance. Then in November, in response to the lawsuit, the council removed the prohibition on homosexuality, and in December, it repealed the ordinance, which had been used in banning certain books from libraries as well. Also, as part of the settlement announced Wednesday, the city has agreed to pay $500,000 to compensate for harm done to the TEP, plus attorney's fees, and accept and process any future permit applications submitted by the group. City Manager Craig Tindall, who had issued the ban on TEP permits, will not be allowed to review any of the applications. Quote, we celebrate the resolution of this case because it has granted the rollback of a discriminatory policy and affirmed our right to host Borough Pride, TEP Executive Director Chris Sanders said in an ACLU press release. Now we can turn our attention to preparing for the 2024 Borough Pride Festival and defending the rights of the LGBTQ plus Tennesseans at the state legislature. Our gratitude goes to the LGBTQ plus community for standing with us and to the legal advocates who champion the defense of free speech and expression. Yeah, so we go on from there.
Yeah.
it really is a case of fuck around and find out, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot more fuck around and find out.
Like, these have not been cases that have gone, like, it seems to be a really great way for conservatives to, you know, rally their voting base with all these various laws. And then somehow when the lawsuits hit, they already know. They already figure out real quick that this isn't going to go in their favor.
Right.
And the less expensive, which I will give their conservatism some credit here, the less expensive route to get out of this is to get out of this.
Right.
Just stop.
Right.
So, yeah. But yay for Murfreesboro and Borough Pride.
Yep. Get them. You know, and I think we're going to see a lot more. We're going to see a lot more how it's handling. And it's a little insane. And I was talking to one of my lead baristas this evening, and I said, did we lose our common sense after our graduation? Because in our high school, there were guns in the parking lot. You saw them in the back of the trucks, locked in, locked up.
Oh, no. Okay. We will start at that was not my high school, but then again, there was a shooting before I got there,
right?
So it was no longer a gun friendly campus. JROTC had enough issues.
Well, our JROTC actually had real guns. We knew which teachers had guns because you saw them either as they were reaching in their purse to get something, or we knew the shop guy had a gun because you saw it right on his belt. On the other side, he had a pocket knife longer than mine. Most boy kids had pocket knives. Most girl kids had pocket knives in the school. It was common factor. Sometimes it was required.
Oh, well, there you go.
The only thing that was in danger in our school was if a 9-point buck decided to come through campus from the woods. Then there may be debate on whether it would make it out of the parking lot. The biggest debate was if it was going to be a teacher, a principal, or a student that took it down.
Well, there is that. So, yeah, no. So there is that. There is that.
Yeah, okay.
Alrighty.
So that's a little bit over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
All right.
So here in West Virginia, however, Fairmont State begins preparations for campus carry law.
Mm-hmm.
So on July 1st, the campus carry law will go into effect at West Virginia's public universities, which has prompted local institutions like WVU and Fairmont State to begin planning accordingly. The Campus Self-Defense Act, a.k.a. the Campus Carry Bill, was signed into law by Governor Jim Justice during the 2023 legislative session. Once in effect, the law will permit an individual with a current and valid concealed carry license to carry a concealed pistol or revolver both on campuses and in buildings of West Virginia's higher education centers. Fairmont State is preparing for the new law by conducting surveys and obtaining overall campus input regarding the controversial issue. In order to abide by the new law, Fairmont State's president, Dr. Mike Davis, has established a campus carry committee to come up with recommendations on how to best implement this new policy. The committee is made up of 14 people and is comprised of students, faculty, and staff at Fairmont State, including campus and mental health representatives. Fairmont State's Chief of Staff, Brian Solmeski, spoke on how the committee aims to take a neutral standpoint on the issue. We are cognizant of the fact that some students will have strong feelings one way, some students will have strong feelings the other way. This will be an ideologically neutral response that we provide. Our goal is not to change anybody's mind. Our goal is to make sure all of our students, faculty, and staff feel safe and are safe, Solmeski said. Despite allowing concealed firearms in public university places, the law does have limitations. Once in effect, institutions can limit the carrying of concealed firearms at organized events taking place at a stadium, arena, or any venue with a capacity of 1,000 or more. Daycare facilities on university property are also on the list of exemptions. The committee is expected to make their recommendations to President Davis next month. Davis plans to then get additional input, meet with his team, and then move into the implementation and communication phase. The university plans to add additional signage that will notify individuals on campus of where they may or may not carry per the law.
I don't know. I'm thinking it's a little much. But at the same time, I'm like, come on. We've had this. Because it's West Virginia. People have had guns in their dorm rooms for years.
Most colleges and universities are a little squeamish about weapons on campus.
Squeamish.
And have been. Have been.
Right.
And typically, if students were doing that, they were doing so at risk. Because, again, typically, that's going to make it's going to make your life very hard.
Well, it depends on how brazen and stupid you are.
Well, exactly. And that's kind of, unfortunately, the reality of this law is you just made brazen and stupid legal.
Right.
I mean, let's get real.
Mm-hmm.
You just made brazen and stupid legal.
Which means, you know, and that goes even more to my point. Of, if you're a gun owner, that's nice. Be sensible. Use your brain. Follow the rules. Like, you don't draw your gun unless you're planning to fire it. You don't carry your gun into places that are stupid to carry it into, like a football stadium or anywhere else that you can, your purse can get bumped into or someone can reach up and grab it off your waistband. You don't openly carry it to where idiots can do so.
Yeah. Well, and with the limitations, that that's kind of already a, like, you're not supposed to do that. Please don't do that.
Yes.
Like, you and your gun do not need to go to commencement. Like, y'all can make time for after.
Exactly.
So Brenda says, drunk football fans plus guns. No, they are stupid enough as is. Again, we point out that, like, and I understand that that does become part of the issue, is that while they're not allowed to carry them into the stadium, to the event venues, it doesn't necessarily mean that they leave them at home. I think what you're going to find is you're going to watch a lot of people come out of games and find their vehicles were broken into. Like, let's get real.
Right. You know.
Like.
And that's where that gun should not have been. If you can tell there's a gun in your vehicle, then you have a problem.
Yeah. But, it, like, have you noticed, though, a lot of people who really enjoy their Second Amendment rights just love putting, you know, all the stickers.
Well, that's boring advertisement. Most of them couldn't hit a barn, a broadsided barn.
I know, but I mean, it's probably a safe bet if you're at a football stadium and you're seeing a truck with real tree and, you know, all the other lovely stickers.
Right.
It's a safe bet.
And yeah, but be smart. Don't carry a gun to where you can.
Yeah, just make it a case of busted window.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's one of those stupid things. If people don't do the stupid thing.
Right. And this comes from, you know, unfortunately, stopping the education that was there.
Yeah. Well, but then again, you're talking about the experience of being a student in the 90s in a school parking lot where guns were proudly on display. Not really proudly on display, just it's a gun rack.
Right.
That's it's a gun rack.
There were also bows. you know, and it was, but, you know, around seventh grade, there was like 3 weeks that everybody, male and female, all got put into the library for one period and then took out to the back of the Collins Middle School from gun class.
That one I can follow.
Right.
Like, that I get.
Called hunter safety or something to that effect. Well, that went away, you know, with the arts and the music programs.
Oh, so Devin's leather jacket has gun pockets. I don't own guns, though.
Right.
But very nice, very nice. She says, yeah, I got a new motorcycle jacket so I can be safe while riding, going to practice with my cousin tomorrow, weather permitting.
There good.
Go.
Go.
Enjoy. Yeah.
Make sure you take care of your leather. Make sure you get it cleaned every 3 months, professionally, not at home. And that leather will last you till your grandchildren can wear it.
Well, and maybe that's a consideration for WVU and Fairmont State and the other colleges that are going to have to face this, is because I'm sure they cannot, under law, single out any individual student and make it a requirement for them to be able to carry their gun that they do this.
Right.
But one, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for everyone to have a refresher course. And two, for those students who are uncomfortable, it may be an opportunity,
right,
if all students were required, to at least have some gun handling knowledge.
Yeah.
And what is legal and what is appropriate and what is dangerous.
Right.
And I mean, it's probably not going to be the most, you know, best way to learn. But it may be an opportunity to at least understand the different situations they're now in. And have some awareness. That, you know, this isn't the one, this doesn't have to be the worst thing that ever happens to a college campus.
Right.
But simultaneously, know when a situation is about to get bad.
Right. And know what you're dealing with.
You know, like,
because I'm sorry, the most dangerous thing out there is a single, and I'm going to get demographic here. Single white female with a child, home alone, and never handling her boyfriend's gun.
Yeah, that's not a moment you want to inadvertently get home from work early.
That's not a moment that someone wants to be breaking into a home.
Yeah.
Because she's not going to shoot to injure. She's going to headshot you. And have perfect aim. Perfect aim.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's really not a good time for, like, this is one of those things. When you do have anyone, when you do have guns in the house, and you do have an a person in your home that works night shift. Like, that is an unfortunate time of night that it is easy to you know, everything goes bump in the night. And so one does have to be careful about calling first before deviating from normal.
Right.
Because, like, if you get off at, like, 8 a.m. and, you know, she is used to waking up at 8 a.m. when that door unlocks. Oh, that's a far different cry from midnight.
Yep.
You leave work early, you better call first.
Yep.
Don't care who, and that's not even a gender thing.
Right.
You leave work early, you better call first. If you're working night shift.
Right.
Like, you wake someone up.
Right. But at the same time, because guaranteed, that person that is breaking into her home, and I don't mean like letting themselves in, I mean breaking into their home, will not walk out. Guaranteed.
Basically.
All right. So, moving further north.
Yes, so the Wall Street Journal tells us mother of Michigan school shooter Ethan Crumbly found guilty of manslaughter. Verdict marks first time a parent of a school shooter has been directly held responsible in connection with a fatal attack. Father faces trial in March.
I think it'll be interesting if they both get convicted. Because it's been a deep debate on who goes to jail if your child is under truancy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That can get into an interesting question of, like, who is the responsible parent?
Right.
And I think in a lot of situations, it's going to end up being women in that situation that go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
At least from my perspective of with the number of single women raising children.
Right.
Coupled with the number of couples in which her job may be less than his.
Right.
Because women do still bear the greatest cost towards employment.
Right.
When having children. Right. Usually it derails careers for the duration of at least...
Right.
Those infancy years, and depending upon how many kids you have is how many infancy years there are.
Right.
It does get a little screwy, and a lot of women do still bear the burden of, right. in terms of employment.
Right.
And the cost of employment.
Right.
I figure it kind of turns around in a lot of situations, and it's like mom can afford to go to jail.
But you know,
at least in two,
because she was the mother of the child. This was because she was not only the mother of the child, but this case is a little bit different. 1 hour before the shooting, she texted the child, "Don't." Okay, please don't. The school called them in there and said, "Take your child home." They refused.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. How do you, if your school calls you.
Yep.
And says, come get your child.
Right.
I'm sorry. Parents can just be like, nope.
Exactly.
What?
Yeah. They refused it.
Like, under, how? How does that not result in a call about child neglect?
Apparently, you know, it's advisable you to take your child home. He's not doing well today. He can stay in school. She also took him for a mother and son's day to shoot the gun at the gun range.
Okay. So they're viewing it as she's the connection to the gun.
Right.
And to knowledge of how to use it. And that this was, you know, her activity with her son.
You're right.
That she, even if both parents were equally responsible for not showing up to pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
She still was the one.
Right.
Who at least had an inkling.
Right. When on the stand, and this is my biggest problem with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
She took the kid out. She's shooting the kid with the kid, which I'm all for. If the school won't teach them, then you take them out and you show them how to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not a problem. She was asked during her testimony about the neglect of handling the weapon. She said, that's his thing, referring to her husband. They failed to secure the weapon and ammunition in their home.
Oh, okay.
So it was just laying the hell around like bottle caps.
Okay. So at any point, he can just pick it up, walk out. She's not paying attention. No one's paying attention.
Exactly.
Okay. Or at least that's the allegation.
Right.
And at this point, it seems like a jury went with that.
Right.
But I don't even think that's, like, that is kind of the tip of the iceberg on this case.
Mm-hmm.
Is the way this is coming across. Those were, like, that's one line of this.
Right.
Usually there's a lot of questions, though, about how did this situation get there? And well, I mean, I don't necessarily blame guns. Okay.
It's a failure of the parents not taking the child's mental health. He had been referred and referred, and they didn't need that damn shit. Quote. The weapon not being secured or properly cared for, even though they show it in a locking case on surveillance tapes. The weapon was not maintained in its locking case when it came home.
Okay.
Inability to take the child home because they had to return to work.
Which, not an unrealistic thing. I mean, a lot of parents...
Yeah.
I mean, because there then becomes the question for me is how many times has this, you know, gone on?
Right.
I mean, because we can all look at one incident
mm-hmm.
and be like, yeah, that was a real good day to take a kid home. That was a real good day if right. you had taken your child home.
Right.
But then there becomes the question of, like, how often is this occurring?
Right.
Because especially in like a bullying situation or any situation in which a child is uncomfortable in school.
Right.
I highly doubt this was the first call.
Right.
The first time.
Right.
That this child is like, Mom, come get me.
Right.
Dad, come get me.
Right.
And you do that a few times and mm-hmm. okay, fine, whatever. But at some point you do have to sit here and go, this isn't going to make this better. You've got to figure out how.
Right. But this was a principal who had a meeting with them, which the mother remained for 11 minutes. Exactly. Walked out and said, nope, you keep him until the end of school. He's having a fucking meltdown.
Oh. So she's just checking out.
Right.
So there's a lot of things gone wrong. A lot of things going wrong with this.
Right.
Yeesh. Yeesh.
Right. And see, I have a problem. She wrote an open letter to former traitor president Trumpetian, where she, you know, confessed in desperation in the letter, describing her family's economic existence as part of America's lower class. A 9mm, I believe, goes for about $600. He had another $2,000 scope on there. No. No. Mm-mm. Lower class don't carry nines because they're an expensive weapon.
Well, they are, unfortunately, one of the weapons that people are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of people who got fearful that they're coming for your guns, that basically drives gun sales.
Right.
Like every time that whole, oh, they're coming for your guns, gun sales go up.
Right.
Like people will take their tax refund checks and walk into a gun store because they've got to protect their rights. Don't get me wrong. If that's what you want to do with your tax refund, that's fine. I don't have a problem with you buying a gun. I mean, some people go on vacation, some people buy televisions, some people do all kinds of things.
Right.
Some people just get drunk.
Right. But this was a weapon in the house. Mm-hmm. Point blank, wasn't there any weapon in the house?
Right.
This is, in my opinion, ridiculous. Because I'm very pro-gun with logic. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Meaning, if you're going to have a weapon, you have to pass background checks. You have to take steps to it.
Yeah. Now, I do have a moment.
Okay.
Well, because, okay, so the morning of the shooting is when they called the parents to the school, where the parents refused to take the child home. After finding violent drawings he had done on a school assignment, searching for online for bullets at school, watching shooting videos in class, and drawing violent images on several other papers.
Right.
Where was the gun?
In the backpack.
Am I the only one that's not like, why didn't the school search the fucking backpack?
See, that's
like, I would think that would be a reasonable thing to do in that situation.
Right.
Like, you have a kid that is doing violent drawings on a school assignment, searching online for bullets at school, watching shooting videos in class, and drawing violent images. I understand calling the parents. I'm there with that.
Right.
And having concern for his mental health.
Yeah.
I don't see it as that big of a hop, skip, and a jump to be like, we're going to search your locker and your backpack.
Right.
Like, no, we don't play with this.
Right.
Like, no. Now, whether that's legal for them to do or, like, even if, like, I would have at least presented that to the parent. Right. Like, we would like to search your child's backpack and locker. Right. Like, if the school needed any kind of permission.
Right.
Because, like, there's a lot of shooting context here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really struggle with why that wouldn't be part of a response plan in this situation.
Well, I don't understand why law enforcement wasn't called for terroristic threats. I don't understand why, mental health wasn't immediately involved. That's on the school side of this. On the parent side of this, what the hell? What the hell?
Oh, meanwhile, her whole defense is not only that it was her husband's responsibility to ensure the gun was stored securely and that their son could not access it. One of the arguments made by her lawyer was that she did not know guns well.
You took your son to a shooting range.
So she's just the I'm an adult, let me sign here.
You bought him weaponry.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Is she the adult? Sign here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're taking a minor to a gun range, I assume you have to, or if you want to be a minor at a gun range,
right,
you have to have an adult with you.
Right.
You know, we all know that in order to own, and that's in quotes, a weapon as a child,
right,
that has to be a purchase by a parent.
Right.
And it sounds like she just showed up and went, which one do you want, honey?
Mm-hmm.
Or bought whatever her husband told her to, like, sign here.
Right.
Like, you're the adult. You're the one we're doing the background check on. You're right. The one that has to go take him to the shooting range.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sounds like just assumed
mm-hmm.
that somewhere along the way, her husband was going to take time. And be like, oh, here's gun safety.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. No. This is not how it's done. This is insane. This is not squirrel shooting. Mm-hmm. This is not... 9mm is terrible for score shooting. It's hard to aim. It's hard to target for a long range. It's not heavy enough. And then it really destroys the meat. There is no reason this child needed it.
Ooh, prosecutors argued that she spent a significant amount of time on her affair.
Mm-hmm.
And taking care of her horses, often leaving her son alone and ignoring his messages.
Yeah.
Crumbly said her affair only took place while her son was at school, and that she always offered to take him with her when she went to see her horses, but he was not interested.
Right.
Oh, but she was having multiple affairs. Ugh. So basically everyone was checked out of this house.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a people storage unit. And a gun storage unit. Not a secured gun storage unit, but... I mean, I'm not judging her for having affairs. That's right. Whatever. I'm just saying that, yeah, no, if you're having not only one affair, but multiple, affairs, and you're just kind of, it sounds like everyone's out of this.
Yeah.
Like.
Everyone is involved. Everyone is out of it. No one is paying attention to this child.
Yeah.
No one's having a conversation with this child. No one's doing crap with this child.
Well, it's starting to sound like it was just everyone. Like, it sounds like this is one of those households where it's not a family anymore.
Right.
Like, they're not a functional family unit.
Right.
Like, I don't think they weren't trying.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't succeeding.
Right.
So it kind of explains the gun. It's a flashy mm-hmm. gift.
Right.
The couple isn't working together regarding the gun.
Right.
It's just a play pretty for their son that, you know, happens to kill people. I mean, it sounds like this was a divorce in the making, and they just didn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, anyone else get what I'm saying here? Is like, you have that household where it's like, the best thing that could happen is if the parents got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they might start being functional human beings again.
Right.
This sounds like going through the motions, just keep paying the fucking mortgage and stay the fuck away from me.
Right.
That sounds like what their life had devolved into.
Right. And it's ridiculous. It's terrible that this has happened to the families of this school. This is why I really personally think that we should have red flag laws. Okay. Personally, I think that a 16-year-old should only be allowed to shoot with an adult. And when there is a child under the age of 21 in the house, well, under the age of 18, because 18 you can own a gun, 21 you can smoke. Make sense of that, people. Make sense of that. Then it gets locked up.
Yeah.
It gets put up. Not just laying around for anyone to grab or throw in a backpack or carry off to school.
And I don't even think in this case, I think that's a linchpin to the conviction.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even think in this case locking it up was, like, it could have been.
Right.
In a functional household.
Mm-hmm.
This could have flown without necessarily
right.
a problem. That, okay, we just have guns laying around. But this wasn't a functional household. Because, right. like, this... I get the feeling everyone's just on their own. Mm-hmm. Figure out breakfast on your own, if you're eating, when you're eating.
Right.
Be ready to get in the car.
Right.
Like, avoiding each other to the best of their ability. I'm sorry, that's just sort of how this reads.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one's taking care of the home. No one's paying attention to the kid.
Right.
The parents sound like they're just done with each other.
Right.
So I assume they're probably on separate ends of the house.
If they're even seeing each other. But the point there still is that there's a weapon. That this child did not have proper training. He had proper training on shooting. Did not have proper training on handling. There's a difference.
More to the point, how much does the proper training on handling matter at the point in which, like, the mental health question comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a neglected kid.
Right.
Who's then, it sounds like, having a shit time at school.
Right.
So between the two, like, you can do all the gun safety training in the world.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that's going to amount to anything.
Right.
But.
And I'm glad to see this. And here's why. We have parents across this country facing jail time because they can't get their child to school on time. We have parents across this country that are having to pay for bills because they can't teach their children to respect things.
Yeah. No, Brenda, I'm not disagreeing. Like, right. gun safety and safe handling comes before ever touching an unloaded gun. Now, I get that.
Right.
I'm just going, like, I don't think we can hang a hat on that. Like, I think it's part of
mm-hmm.
the like, evidentiary process for why the conviction occurred.
Right.
That, like, and further example of all the problems leading up to this.
Right.
Like, I'm there with that. I'm just saying at this, the point this was at, I think the only thing that you could have gotten out of it is mm-hmm. that mom didn't go to prison, I still don't think in the situation you stop the event.
Right.
Like, they could have done all the... They could have done days and weeks and months of gun safety training.
Right.
They could have locked this up like Fort Knox.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the only thing that does is she doesn't go to prison because, well, you tried.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, this was still going to happen.
Right. And, you
know, that's kind of where I'm splitting out, like, because it's kind of the case makes the point.
Right.
Or tries to, that mom could have prevented this.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't think mom could have prevented it. I think she could have taken steps that might have prevented it. Or maybe prevented it that day. Like, the kid definitely needed mental health support, like, but I don't know that that's inherently true that she was going to be able to stop this.
$63.
For the gun lock?
No, for the fingerprint safe.
Well, either which way. Yeah. I don't know, it's kids and technology.
Which, by the way, if you're looking for something, get a fingerprint gun safe. That way you don't have to fumble with the code or hunt for the key. If you need the gun, fingerprint safe, and it opens up. But it only opens up for you.
Yeah.
And no, she was agreeing with me that gun safety and gun handling comes before touching an unloaded gun, much less a gun. And furthermore, the fear of God.
I mean, it's just a really disturbing case. Like, that's where I'm at with it. It's a very sad case. It's very unfortunate for everyone who is hurt.
Yeah.
Like, none of that do I argue with. I think that if you're...
Any phrases. But anyway... Because I grew up around guns. Guns all over the damn place. Guns in grandma's purse. Guns in the door.
Yeah. So I think if you're trying to assign blame, though, I think this kind of goes back to both parents long before the gun.
Yeah.
Long before the gun.
Right.
And so it'll be interesting to see if dad also goes to prison or if this becomes... You know, mom goes to prison, right. Dad doesn't, and it's because he's even worse.
Right. And that'll be interesting because she's the one that went for the background check. She's the one that illegally bought the child the gun.
Well, technically, does that actually qualify as an illegal purchase? I mean, because one way or another, for a minor... They're going to have access to a gun owned by a parent or a guardian or a grandparent or some other adult human.
Right.
And I don't know that it's really all that out there. Like, many parents have bought their children a weapon.
Right.
Granted, it's understood. It's mine till you're 18.
Mm-hmm.
I have control over it because it's in my name. And right. I'm the one with, you know, legal responsibilities over it.
Right.
Or should be the understood. At least it's the legal side of it.
Right.
Like, your 15-year-old does not own a gun. If you are 15, for whatever reason, you've stumbled here, you don't own a gun.
Right.
Your parents own a gun.
Right.
That they allow you to use, I don't care who or when it was purchased.
Right.
Like who, for, and when, like it's not yours.
Yeah. We haven't figured out why
they decide to give it to
you. Just does. I think his energy goes up too much, but that's just me.
Oh, well, there you go.
But no, alrighty. Many households grew up with guns all over the place. You didn't touch them, even if they fell. You didn't touch the bags that they were in. You didn't reach up and even dust the suckers. Common sense, please. The bigger issue I see is the neglect of the child's mental health.
Yeah, that's kind of where all this goes back to. Like, that's the beginning position. But I am interested to see. I really truly am. If dad goes to jail also. If he gets more or less time than mom.
Right.
Or whether he walks scot-free because he is even less involved.
Right. Now, Jennifer's got some balls here.
Okay.
She expressed she wished her son had acted differently, but said, looking back, she would have not changed her parenting decisions.
really makes you wonder about mom's state of mind.
Right.
I would hope that gets her into some prison therapy to understand right. that that's problematic. Brenda says, learn to not touch fear of dad and fear of dad making me meet Jesus. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, me meet Jesus, I think is what she means.
Yes.
So, yeah. No, I can understand that one. I can understand that. But no. I think it'll be interesting where his trial in March goes.
I think it will be, too. I think it'll be interesting to see how it happens. I think it'll be interesting to see what evidence is presented against him. Because her, it's clear she bought the weapon. She did not maintain the weapon. She did not maintain control over the weapon. She did not see to her child's mental health. She left the child at the principal's office with, I don't care. If you think he needs therapy, he can just get over it.
And again, you would think that would be a really regrettable moment for her, but it doesn't. Because it keeps sounding like she's just totally checked out on it.
Right.
Like, she just, which can be an indicator of, like, her own mental health issues or her own potential conditions.
Right.
That's where I'm kind of frozen, is, like, this one comes across weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying she does, or they do, or he does, the child or the parent or the father or either one. I mean, the situation comes across weird.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, is it sounds like the whole family needed therapy. Like, this sounds like a perfect storm incident.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm not sitting here saying we need to remove all the guns and that'll solve it. I'm not like this. Guys, if you're gonna come after me, like, that's not what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Nor am I trying to make this, well, it's all about the mental health, it's just the mental health, and you know, it's just crazy people with guns. But I think this is a sincere situation in which there was a lot going, rephrase, there was a lot not going on in that household.
Right.
Like, layers and layers and layers of things that,
right.
when you think of a home and a household right. and parents and a child, that right. you expect to be occurring,
right.
it just seemed like they aren't.
Right.
I think, and again, I'm back to, I think the problem started well before the purchase of the gun.
Right.
So I'm kind of also interested if there's going to be future stories that dig into this.
Well, and I think that there will be. I think that, you know, I suspect we're going to see a Lifetime movie. Unfortunately.
Hey, Jeannie. Or Jeannie? Let me know if I got your name right. If I didn't, I'm so sorry.
Right. All right, so let's move on to our favorite segment of the evening.
Yes.
Are you an asshole?
Am I the asshole for cooking the wrong pasta and not leaping into action to correct it? My sister's situationship recently got upgraded to the real deal, and she insisted that it was time for me to meet her girlfriend and her girlfriend's daughter, who is 11 and autistic with high support needs. Over the course of several conversations, this plan morphed into them all coming over to my place for dinner. My sister let me know in advance that the daughter pretty much only eats spaghetti with butter, no pepper, and Uncrustables, which was fine. The grown-ups could have pasta primavera, and she could have her own bowl of buttered noodles. I don't know why, but when my sister said spaghetti, I thought she meant pasta in general, so I made dinner with bow ties that I had on hand. They arrive for dinner, and the daughter won't eat her buttered noodles because they're the wrong shape. Her mom asks if I have any spaghetti, and I'm like, I have fettuccine that is still in a box in dry form. offer to make a PB&J after dinner and make it look like an Uncrustable, but that won't work because she eats the strawberry jelly kind and I only have grape jelly. And an ancient jar of strawberry rhubarb jam from the back of the pantry that is obviously a non-starter. She asked me to go ahead and try the fettuccine, and I'm like, sure, I will get right on that as soon as I am done eating. Both my sister and her girlfriend are not happy with the lack of urgency. I am not happy with being asked to let my dinner get cold while I cook a second meal because a kid won't eat her favorite food when it's a different shape. And by now, the vibe of the whole evening is in the trash. They end up leaving so the daughter can go have spaghetti at home, and my sister is pissed because that was a disaster, and it's all my fault because she clearly said spaghetti. I'm like, I'm sorry, I genuinely did not realize that bow ties and spaghetti were completely different, and never the twain shall meet. She's like, you don't understand how much picky kids, and especially autistic kids, need everything to be just so. And I'm like, yeah, I obviously don't understand. So why did I end up being the one who had to take the lead on this dinner? Now we're at an impasse.
Now you're not the asshole, the mother is.
I think this was a poorly planned first introduction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, because this is a very involved introduction.
Right.
Like, you're not just meeting the girlfriend. You're meeting the girlfriend and the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the daughter is autistic.
Mm-hmm.
With high support needs.
Mm-hmm.
And, as one would assume, or often encounters, has some very specific dietary needs.
Right.
That are not just her favorite food.
Right.
Which I take a couple of points on that one. That's kind of an asshole-y thing right. to say, but that you don't know better, and that's kind of my point.
Right.
This is where you end up being not the asshole, in my opinion. Right. Because you have now moved this dinner to the person who has the least clue what to do to make this work.
All right.
Who also doesn't understand why there was urgency.
Right.
Who is not going to understand.
Right.
And you've taken the 11-year-old out of their comfort environment and you have decided, like, the layers.
Well, here's layers for me. And we've talked about this a few times. If you have specific dietary needs for a child, you make sure that you carry those specific dietary needs for the child.
Yeah. Like, leaving that up to someone else. Like, how hard was it to throw an Uncrustable in a bag? Just in case.
Right.
As a Hail Mary, if this all goes wrong.
Right.
I don't know that I would leave home without one.
Right.
Like, it's pre-packaged, it's ready to go, put it in a bag.
That's what it's designed for.
Just carry one with you wherever you go. Just switch it out, throw it out once a week, and put a new one in.
Right.
I don't know. They may be refrigerated, so it may be more often than that. But you get my point. Like, exactly. It's worth it. It's worth it.
Just carry it. You know you're going to dinner at someone else's home you've never been to.
Mm-hmm. I think that was a little trusting.
That's a little lazy. Oh, she only eats spaghetti noodles with butter.
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of the anger in this is that the, not OP, but the sister of OP thought she had explained all of the needs in perfect detail and that OP got it.
Right.
I think she has also walked her girlfriend through the idea that she has done this perfectly.
Right.
and has now slammed into the brick wall of this can't get much worse.
Right.
In terms of this was not
right
what needed to occur.
Right.
I kind of get the feeling the girlfriend should have known this was going to end badly. But then again, I wonder how this morphed into them all coming over to my place for dinner. Like, I feel like there might be some extra information there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't just morph into.
Right. And furthermore, if you know this situation, then you host the dinners. How hard is that? You're used to cooking with specific needs. It's easy to. Bop, 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 bop. Short order, cook it.
Like, you already know. Like, it's one of those, you already know this, why would you take the show on the road?
Exactly.
Especially if you're not going to take the show on the road.
Right.
Like, I find it very hard to believe that in 11 years of raising an autistic child with high support needs, you haven't encountered enough situations where the ground did not rise to meet your feet, that you would be this trusting.
Well, see, this is what I don't get. Okay, so like I'm doing low acid coffee right now. I'm doing it in what's the silver pot?
The mocha pot.
The mocha pot. So because if
guess what we take with us if we go anywhere?
Yeah.
Low acid coffee and a mocha pot.
Yeah.
So now all we have to hope for is at least a hot plate.
Right.
A stove would be nice, but at least a hot plate. Even one of those little camp stoves with a propane screw-in bottle. A grill.
Yeah.
We can work with a grill.
Yeah.
But we don't go to someone's house going, do you have low-acid coffee? Because I knew low-acid coffee was a thing until you brought it home.
Right.
I don't.
Yeah.
Mocha pot, we discovered in a TJ Maxx. Do I expect people just have those? No.
Do, you know, I use skinny syrups. I pack those.
Yeah. I mean, now granted, I generally assume anyone that is an adult, and this is my mistake, I will state that. This is me knowing because I've made this assumption before and been wrong. That if you're a grown adult somewhere, somehow, in your home, you have a box of regular spaghetti noodles. I just assume that like houses just come with them, don't they?
No.
I mean, you know, like everyone gets a free one, right?
Now,
don't you just walk through the store at some point and just pick one up, go, what the hell, might as well.
No.
I'm an adult.
Now
I should own. Like, I'm sorry. For me, it's one of those items that if it's a good deal, I'll just pick one up. I don't care how many we have.
Honey.
Yeah.
Do you not remember our first grocery shop when you moved in?
No, apparently I don't.
We had to go buy pasta, macaroni and cheese.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Things I don't eat.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough, fair enough. But, yeah, no, I don't think it's a stretch to assume someone would possibly understand.
Right.
And at least have made the, like, 89 cents. What are we up to? $1.89. What is spaghetti up to?
Probably about 89 cents for store brand. $1.80 for whatever.
Okay, well, because we had that whole wheat shortage and pasta went up, and I don't know. Do we ever make it back to normal pricing? Like I don't like that cheap boxes of spaghetti noodles. The cheap one,
right? $1.99 currently.
Okay, $1.99. There we go. Because my first reaction is it's 89 cents, and it's right. Like, oh, we had that wheat shortage. It pasta went up. pasta yep. went up.
It doubled.
Don't think we're ever coming back down. Right. But no, it becomes one of those things that, like, I know I went through with an ex the startling realization you could be an adult male,
right.
full grown, out of college, adult male, and not own a can opener. And my brain exploded. Like, how have you never opened, like, a single can?
Because they don't eat at home.
Well, and that was exactly what it turned out to be. Your
first warning when you opened up the oven and found sweaters. That should have been your first clue.
No, I did not open the oven and find sweaters. But I did suddenly eventually realize they had, like, 3 plates, 4 forks, 3 bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only thing they ate at home was, like, toast, pizza, if they ordered in, and cereal.
Right.
Like, that's it. Everything else. And I'm just like, I'm in hell. That was my response. It's like, I have owned my own can opener. I have can opener preferences.
Right.
Like, I have a preferred can opener, and you know what I mean? Like, this was where my life was at, and I right. was younger.
Right.
And it's like, how was I supposed to get through TSA and bring my own can opener? I didn't even know that was a thing.
Honey.
Like, what do you mean?
Quite honest, if I ever go back to being single again, the kitchen's getting remodeled into an office with a coffee bar.
Now I have 4 sets of dishes instead of 4 plates. At least.
Yes.
Like, I quit counting because every time I count, they grow. So we don't count the dishes. We just assume that, like rats in a wall, they are procreating in the cabinet as we speak.
There's 4 sets in there. Now, they're not complete sets. There's the black set that I want if I can ever find the plates to. There's a clear glass set that I think is fucking amazing. Then we have the traditional Corningware set, and then now we have the Christmas set. We'll be getting the Thanksgiving set and the winter set and probably the summer set as the seasons approach.
Oh, I was just good with 1 large set of dishes that all match.
No.
Yeah, I got veto. like, this is how this conversation went. No.
I'm done with this. I want dishes sure. I use. They make me happy to eat at.
All right. So Brenda says, Godson had to switch to low acid coffee because of stomach digestive issues. Only reason I wasn't surprised.
Right.
Yeah, no, I didn't know this was a thing. I did not know it was a thing. And then all of a sudden he's like, I'm buying low acid coffee. Here's low acid coffee. And it's like, what the hell is low acid coffee? I still don't really understand. I know it's like brewed or roasted different or something.
It's roasted different. It has less acid to it. It doesn't piss my ulcer off.
No. I get why we have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing that exists.
Right.
Like, but it's not something you walk into someone's house and assume they have.
Right.
But I'm also pointing out, I'm one of those people that, like, I assumed adult humans own can openers.
Right.
Because I thought it was a requirement to be considered an adult was to own right. a can opener.
Right.
Because otherwise, what the hell? Yeah, blonde roast does have less acid. Yeah, your darker roasts are always more acidic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now.
Yeah. We may end up ordering it because I'm looking and seeing, like, there's other brands than the one I have, which I'm not really happy with yet.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, got that poll up.
Yep, poll's up. You've got everyone's an asshole.
Everyone's shitty here.
Everyone's shitty here is the option. Yes, you're an asshole. No, you're an asshole. My dill pickle won't fix that.
All right. So now let's get you over to Poly Advice. Difference between co-living, co-housing, and cohabitation. Hi, everyone. I'm new to IDing a solo poly. I've got some questions about the identifier and whether some of my preferences qualify. Mainly, I've seen some people express that you can't be solo poly if you would be open to living with your partners. My political and economic beliefs make me feel very inclined towards sharing living accommodations with my partners. Ideally, this would be some kind of self-sustainable farm with my polycule. But homestead dreams aside, I'm also open to the idea of sharing a house in the city with couples practicing hierarchy who I really bond with, for instance. When I've told potential partners about this, I emphasize that I wouldn't expect or necessarily desire a ton of daily contact. I love my alone time, but there's real convenience and practicality to co-housing. And it's ultimately something I think I could see myself actively desiring one day, though I'm happy living alone for now. What are your thoughts? Can I be solo poly and open to co-housing? Also, anyone want to help me figure out the difference between co-living, co-housing, and cohabitation so I can ensure I'm using appropriate terminology?
All right. So I'll break this down, and it really breaks down to the bedroom. No, I'm not talking about the stuff that occurs. I'm talking about which bedroom you share. If you share a bedroom with your partner, you're cohabitating, especially if you share bills with your partner, you're cohabitating. Co-housing means you have the same address. You have your room, they have their room, you have your life, they have their life, you have your spaces, they have their spaces. You pay them rent, they pay you rent, figuring out wherever that goes.
Okay.
Cohabitating means that you live and you actively enjoy meals together, you share a bedroom together, full all part time. You live as a couple, and everyone knows that you're a couple, not a group of roommates.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Is cohabitation involves a more involved relationship.
Right.
Co-housing is basically roommates with benefits.
Right.
Co-living, I think, is going to be the one that's a little confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think that ends up being the in-between.
Right.
Is you're doing a little more than roommates. You're doing a lot less than cohabitating.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're straddling a line there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're co-planning events, you're all putting in on the house, you're all, you know, scheduling time together and doing right. things together, which is a little more like cohabitation, right. But you're not as co-mingled.
Right.
As in, your accounts and my accounts are very separate things.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not even formalize, like, an our account. For right. the household expenses, you're just still kind of collecting rent.
Right.
But you're also in co-living, making more plans towards the future. Co-housing, you're more so just kind of all independently functional together.
Exactly.
And then cohabitation, again, has the stronger relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like long-term, so to speak, commitment
mm-hmm.
Towards what you're doing and building together.
Right.
Versus what you're independently doing alone.
Right. So that's the easiest way to break that down. As far as their dreams, I think every one of us wants to move out to a farm and have our own little tiny houses.
It's come up recently, hasn't it?
It has.
Like, I mean, this has been one of those repeating topics.
Right.
Because, yeah.
Right.
Seems like everyone is down for, like, the communal, like, just find a giant piece of property. We'll put a whole bunch of, like, tiny houses on it. Mm-hmm. If you're poly, that's cool. If you're not poly, that's cool. You know, if you're cohabitating, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just don't screw with anyone's life. Right. Just live and be free.
All right, so let's check out the poll, see where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Interesting.
It is.
You're having a moment there. Like, I did not expect this.
All right. Are you an asshole this week? No, but a dill pickle won't fix that.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, I can follow that.
Yeah.
Like, that was layers of problems that all fused together. Yeah. Like, there's so many things.
Right.
So many things to fix in that situation.
And we have a name for that in this house. It's called the caramel apple effect.
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. No, the caramel apple
mm-hmm.
and the reverse caramel apple.
Right.
Speak to the fact that, okay. So the way the whole concept started is I like all the components of a caramel apple.
Right.
I like nuts. I like caramel. I like apples.
Right.
You would think if you stick an apple on a stick, roll it around in some caramel, and roll it around in some nuts, I should like this.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like this.
Right.
I have never enjoyed a caramel apple as much as they are. I find them beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I am tempted, and every time I'm horrified because they're disgusting.
Right.
The reverse caramel apple is individually, I don't like all the ingredients.
Right.
At least one or more ingredients.
Right.
But somehow, magically, when they come together,
mm-hmm.
I like the thing they create.
Right.
Don't like the components, but mm-hmm. I like the combination.
Right. So, you know.
Yeah.
The child likes pasta, but not bow tie pasta. She likes butter, but not bow tie pasta on butter.
Yeah. Yeah, so the one component being the bow tie pasta.
Right.
Which, I mean, I can't say I don't partially understand OP.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was one of those, like, just didn't think it through.
Right.
And didn't know to think it through.
Right.
That, no, this is a very specific, like, you cannot make substitutions.
Right.
Like, if you're making spaghetti, you have to use spaghetti.
Right. And, you know, this is, again, I think falls back on the girlfriend that should have pasta in her purse, there's edibles in her purse, whatever. We're going out to dinner.
Yeah, I think everyone has some blame here.
Right.
Like, so I can follow that one. I can follow that one. And I don't think you easily fix it. I don't think you just keep pointing fingers till someone, you know, gets it.
Well, I think the mother of the child needs to get it very quickly, or there's going to be other instances of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still thinking they got home, and I think that was an interesting car ride home.
Right.
Oh, do I think that was an interesting car ride home.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of like currently, we have a dinner date to go to. My stomach's acting up. I'm going to run through McDonald's and get my safe foods, and we're not going to debate it. Just here, pop this in the microwave for me.
Yeah. Well, and we've actually just done like that one night.
Yeah.
Like, you got your safe food.
Mm-hmm.
You had your safe food.
Mm-hmm.
I had other food.
Right.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Like,
this is what the parents should do. I don't understand why we can quickly adapt to this idea. And this girlfriend has it.
The girlfriend or the... I mean, because everyone involved could have gotten on board with this.
Right.
Like, I don't get why it's necessarily such a struggle.
The mother or the child.
Like, that's a repetitive thing that comes up.
Yes.
In the whole autistic interfacing,
mm-hmm.
Right. Alfred communities. Like, I don't get why. But then again, I think I sort of do. And it's this weird juncture between follow along with me, Clean Plate Club, the belief that if a parent puts food in front of a child, they're just supposed to say thank you and eat it and not argue.
Right.
As well as this obsession that people seem to have with, like, forcing you and the battle of wills. When you say you don't like something, you're allergic to something, you something doesn't agree with you,
right,
to force you to eat it.
Right.
Like, I don't get it. Why can't everyone just be happy? Like, I think we can all sit at the same table and eat something different. Now, I do have a little issue that I understand well. You can't necessarily expect everyone, like, you cannot expect at a table of 10 people for dinner.
Right.
To inherently cook 10 whole meals that are totally different. That's too far.
Right.
Microwave 10 different meals? Sure.
Right.
But necessarily sit there and, like, well, this person only eats this, this person only eats this. Put your own damn plate together. I'm putting food out. There's something for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Figure it the fuck out. Like, I have hit your dietary needs. It is, at that point, I would be, you know, very tempted to just, like, everything separated.
Right.
You know, I'm having pasta primavera in this situation. I'm having pasta primavera. The components to make that are before you.
Yep.
Do with that as you will.
Right. Brenda brings up an interesting one. I learned that chicken nuggets dash peeled cannot be substituted by cooking chicken fast.
Oh, I learned that chicken nuggets peeled could not be substituted by using cooked chicken.
Right.
Quickly.
Right.
Yeah, those aren't the same thing.
Mm-mm.
Like, yeah, chicken nuggets and chicken tenders are two totally different foods.
Right.
They're two totally different foods.
Right.
Accept it and move on.
Exactly.
Like, this isn't your eating situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect anyone to sit here and immediately understand it, and it doesn't have to make sense to you.
No.
Because it's not the condition in which you eat. But you do have to try to be respectful of it.
Right.
Like, no one wants to sit here and argue. Like, nowhere are you going to get with me by trying to convince me that I secretly, deep down, if only I had it the right way, enjoyed a caramel apple.
Right.
I do not. Now, if you deconstruct it, I will sit there and gladly eat apple slices dipped in caramel and some nuts.
Right.
Because, again, this is the reason I keep thinking this should work for me. I like apple slices dipped in caramel. Right. And I like nuts.
Right.
Again. The concept should work. It does not.
Right.
I can't explain to you really why it doesn't work. It ought to.
Right.
It doesn't.
Right.
They're gross and disgusting. Who the hell thought this was a good idea?
Right.
And that's okay.
All right. So we guys will see you on Sunday for Psychic That Plans. You'll be able to see how the task list planner that I created is working out. And I don't know. Joe, you got anything new for your planner this week?
I don't think I do at this moment.
Awesome. So with that, take it away, Vanna.
All right. So, of course, we want to thank Beverly Walker, Mika G, Kathy, Mary Winfield, Brenda, Shannon C, Shannon D, Lady Gwendolyn, Charles Shaw, Tracy Van, Caitlin Bell, and Devin. you'd like to learn more about us, the show, or how you too can join our Patreon and receive all the wonderful benefits our baristas receive, please visit us at pcspnetwork.com.
Yes. All right, guys. Have a great night.
Good night.